Hi, y'all. Welcome back to the Stormkeep, episode number 60. Today, we are going to review the Black Talon, a new warband released by Games Workshop, a regiment of renown for everybody else. I am joined with...
Hey, guys, it's Paul.
Hey, guys, it's Morgonk.
All right, before we jump into the video, let's talk about our sponsor for the Stormkeep podcast, Kaiju Gaming Lounge. Located in Orlando, Florida, Kaiju Gaming Lounge is the official sponsor. They supply all the prizes for our painting contest. They also sell our merch. We have these fancy 9-inch, 7-inch range markers with our logo on there. Those are great for playing annihilators in particular. So if you want to measure 9 inches or 7 inches off the table, you can do so with these handsome looking colored rangefinders, or go for the clear option, which is also a good one. We also have dice coming back into stock. So if you're interested in picking up a set of Stormkeep dice, they should be available now. You can use Stormkeep to get 15% off all Warhammer at kaijugaminglounge.com. Right, so let's take a look at the War Scrolls for Neve Black Talon, Neve's Companions, and Lorei, Child of the Abyss. The first thing that really stood out to me looking at these was that these do not feel like War Scrolls designed for our Stormcast Battle Tome. And what I mean by that is that these actually feel like how Stormcast should be statted. Looking at even just minor details, like Neve is Ren 2, she actually has significant damage, like maximum damage for a foot hero with Stormcast. That's really, that doesn't happen, right? She hits harder than Bastion against heroes, right? And she's just like a random foot hero. She's not the Lord Commander of a whole damn Storm host. So her stats are good for what she is. Her companions, like this guy here, Rastus, he's got a Liberator, Redeemer Conclave symbol. He is a Liberator, but he's also 3 wounds on a 3-up save, even without a shield. So this, to me, feels like what Stormcast should be. You know, elite, high damage, good stats, expensive, obviously. We'll talk about that aspect of it. But that's really what stood out to me the first time I saw this, is that everything looks like, yeah, these are actually what Stormcast stats should be.
Also, you know, 6 wounds on a knight. They finally figured out Stormcast needs 6 wounds. Yeah. She feels like a hero. She feels like a proper hero.
Yeah, this is what a Stormcast hero should look like. This is what a combat-focused Stormcast hero should look like, right? She should be better than most Stormcast heroes at fighting, because she is an assassin. But like Ren 2, how come most of Stormcast heroes are just Ren 1? That just boggles my mind, that we have these, like, God-forged weapons made from a piece of Sigmar and the old world. Like, a piece of the old world has been blessed by Sigmar and given to each of his champions, and there's, like, a random skeleton out there that hits harder and more accurately.
Yeah, or like, and these aren't, like, even just demigods. They are the leaders of other demigods.
Yeah.
Like, these are the guys chosen to, like, be, like, even the, you know, cream of the crop, the best of the best, above the best. So, like, I don't know how that happened. But yeah.
I also think I appreciate that they're trying to increase our accuracy. Like, why am I liberating chain 3s by 4s, and there are skinks that hit, like, 3s and 3s or something? Like,
yeah,
I feel like...
That's why when you look Yep, and so, like, I appreciate the 2s and 3s, 3s and 2s. I feel like this should always be... Like, you know, 3s and 3s should be about as bad as we should get, as far as, like, shooting or combat goes. And they can, you know, balance the number of attacks or damage or whatever they need to around that. Everything here has Ren, which I'm really, really happy about. So yeah, let's read what Neve has, shall we?
Yeah, so right off the bat, she's got a terrible shooting attack. 3 damage on 3s, 3s, Ren 1. Whatever, you can just ignore it. You can pretend it doesn't exist. It's just, you roll the dice and sometimes it does damage. The main feature of Neve is her Whirlwind Axes, which do 14 damage on 2s, 3s, negative 2, which gets bumped up to a max of 21 damage if you fight a hero, because you get to add 1 to the damage characteristic whenever you're fighting a hero. And, you know, 21 max damage for a little foot hero, that's pretty dang good. Combine that with the fact that she can run and charge and shoot, you know, for that piddly 3 damage every turn, maybe. But running and charging is not an ability that Stormcast generally have access to, and she's got a whopping 8-inch move. So when you give her the run 6 command every turn, she's going 14 inches and then charging. That's a pretty good threat range.
Yes.
Unfortunately, she doesn't fly. So, like, you can't, like, jump over screens and then get to those small foot heroes. That would have just been...
That's what the shading's for.
Yeah, the 3 damage. Watch out. That's like Stormcast armies, you know, we don't have problems clearing screens. We're one of the better armies at doing that. So she'll fit fine tactically there. But it would be nice if, you know, she's a wind rider. It would be cool if she could fly. That would make sense. But speaking of which,
I'm okay with her not flying because I feel like we don't have a problem moving screens. So, like, that's fine.
It's fine.
And the ability that really makes her, you know, Sigmar's chosen assassin is when she's riding the wings of Theric. If you would go over that.
Yeah. So this ability's seen a few different versions over the years. The last one was just a straight up teleport, like the Knight Zephyros still has. You can just teleport anywhere on the table, more than 9 from enemies. No dice roll required. You just get out of there. And this one is different. It is quite different. It's no longer just a guaranteed teleport. It's in the combat phase after fighting on a 2+. Neve herself can just teleport to the companions or to the, what's her name, Lorai here. So that is basically Strike and Fade from Sylvaneth. It's instead of teleporting to woods or overgrown terrain, you have to teleport to one of the other units that you have to bring. So that makes her incredibly slippery. It's really hard to pin her down. She gets in, she gets the job done, and then she gets out. And what's really cool about this is that these are three separate units. So you can, for example, have Neve's companions on one side of the table, Lorai on the other side of the table, and then Neve can just teleport to either one after she fights.
Yeah.
Which is really, really cool. Neve's companions are overstatted. Each one of them individually is like a beefy Stormcast. Looking at the castigator of the group, whose name is...
Shakana.
I had to read through the whole description. It's right at the bottom. She is 6 damage total on 3s3s rend 1. Now, 6 damage for a single model, that's a good stat line. That's like a long strike, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of max damage output. Obviously, the accuracy is not there. She doesn't have to hit 6 mortals. She doesn't only rend 1. She wounds on 3s. Only 18-inch range. That's another problem. It's only 18-inch range. But imagine if you had a squad of 5 of these for adjudicators. That's a nice shooting unit. Now, I can't...
That's like 30 shots? Yeah.
If it was a squad of 5. Unfortunately, it's just a squad of 1. So that's kind of a downside. Then she's got this alternate headshot thing she can do against a hero, which is on 2s, 3s, rend 3, 3 damage, which is cool. It's like half of a Knight Judicator. Probably the worst half, because the Knight Judicators hit on 3s and wound on 2s, which means you can boost their hit rolls, and then they're on 2s and 2s, which is the best you can get right now. Hitting on 2s is kind of... Like, it's nice, but... I'd prefer, honestly, if it was hitting on 3s and wounding on 2s, but, you know, minor details. She can only use this shooting against heroes, and unfortunately, these days, it's really tough to shoot heroes because of Lookout Sir. So, don't know how often you're going to get this single shot, and...
Given I have a feeling this was written before Lookout Sir.
I can see that, yeah. Given that it's 3 damage max compared to 6 damage max on the other one, yeah, it's a lot more accurate. You know, it's got Rend 3, it's like... I think I'd rather most of the time just use the 6 attacks. Like, unless I'm shooting at a Maw Crusher with Finest Hour or something, like some really tanky hero, I would usually just rather use the 6 shots.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then in terms of melee, these guys have one guy with 6 attacks, 3s, 3s, rend 1. That's fine. Like, that's really good for a single model. For a whole squad, it's just okay. Then they've got this guy, Rastus, with the Warhammer. He's max 8 damage on 3s, 2s, rend 2. Like, I like that. This dude's basically got a Grand Hammer, but he's a Liberator. So we'll see what happens with Liberators next edition, right?
Hopefully. I mean, I don't expect... 4 attacks is actually quite good. If a Liberator squad could have 4 attacks on a Grand Hammer, it would actually make them worth the 110, 120, whatever GW released him at. 4 attacks would actually make Liberators worth it. I have a feeling he has one more because he's part of this warband. And then Hendrik, obviously, with his Cyclonic Sword and Axe, 6 attacks, 3s and 3s, negative 1, and then the Shakana's Owl gets to come in for a level. I see it's still worse than the Lumineth Owls, which get to do 2 attacks at 3s and 3s, negative 1, rend 1 damage, but that's okay. We'll take it.
Our giant heavenly birds are just not as good as their giant light birds, apparently.
Yeah, whatever, man. Yeah. Like, the owls aren't the same in Shaiyan as they are, apparently.
So these guys are a bodyguard for both of the heroes, right? Yeah. And they have to bodyguard. They don't have a choice. On a 2+, you have to allocate a wound to them if they're within 3 inches. And that's it. They're just a bodyguard with slightly above average stats per model. But unfortunately, these kind of like mixed units don't often do enough one way or the other. Like, this isn't enough shooting damage. This isn't enough melee damage. So really, they just end up being an expensive unit of Praetors. Mm-hmm. But unlike Praetors, they can teleport into play, right? They don't have to be on the table in order to soul bond or whatever that ability is called. So you can just drop
them
into play.
They're basically always bonded to Neve, in a sense.
Yeah. And that's you know, better than Praetors. You can kind of just think of these guys as a squad of Praetors that sometimes shoots. Mm-hmm. And then rounding it out is Lorai. She's just a very basic plus zero cast wizard. You know, 5 wounds, 4-up save, a spell that is questionably useful. Like, it only affects shooting attacks. It's a strong spell in the right situation, right? Like, protecting all of these units from shooting is good. But the fact that you have to be wholly within 6 inches of her, and, like, you kind of want to split these units up. Like, you don't want Neve's companions near Lorai because you want more flexibility on where you teleport Neve. So it's kind of weird that you have to keep them all together.
This was written before Lookout, sir. Like, when you read it, it's like, well, like, nobody's going to be able to shoot Neve anyway. Because
or Lorai.
You have Neve's companions near her.
Yeah, it's really weird. If you just think of her as she's casting Mystic Shield every turn, then that's fine, right? But then, you know, let's look at the pitch battle profile, right? It's 5 models total split across 3 units. You have to take all of these War Scrolls. You cannot bring just one of them. There's no option to do that. Altogether, they cost 340 points. They are single, which means you can't reinforce them, and they are unique, which means you can't bring multiples of them. So 340 points for a reasonably good hero fighter, a bodyguard for the hero fighter, and a Mystic Shield bot. That's the short version of what I'm looking at with these War Scrolls.
Yep.
Let's talk pros and cons. So first up, Neve has good damage against heroes. Not exceptional damage, right? Even as far as Stormcast go, I would even say her damage is bad, right? Like, looking at other options Stormcast has for dealing damage, we could just bring a squad of long strikes that does this from 30 inches away without having to go into melee. Obviously, you can't shoot heroes from that far away, but the point is, like, there's going to be times where Neve isn't just fighting heroes. And in those situations, she's only 14 max damage, and that's really not good for 340 points. But in the right situations, you know, you get to charge her into a hero and then teleport her out. Like, that's a cool trick, and the damage is there to support that. Like, she will reliably kill small heroes. Like, even just one or two attacks getting through, and that hero is dead. So even a low roll is unlikely.
Also, let's mention, you know, we're talking about a single model on a 40mm base. It can get around. Like, the footprint is small enough to where punching a small hole in a screen, you can, like, charge around it or something.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Because she can always run and shoot and charge, the shooting, not so relevant, I don't think. But because she can always run and charge, that is a good threat range. Not good enough that you're going to necessarily charge her turn one, but good, right? It's you do have to dedicate a command point to make it reliable, because anytime you run and charge and you roll like a one or two, you're going to feel pretty silly, right? Like, 10-inch move just is not enough. You want that full 14 inches, like you're playing a Krondis or something, but with that teeny tiny little base. And she's reasonably hard to kill, right? As a hero, she can benefit from Lookout, Sir. There's a 2+ bodyguard available anytime you need it. There's the spell available from Lorai to make shooting even harder against her. As a hero, she can Heroic Recovery, Finest Hour. There's all sorts of options here to keep her alive. But I will say she's only 6 wounds. So that's, even though she can avoid damage, when she does get hit, she goes pretty quick. The bodyguard melee damage is okay, right? It's like about 14 max damage, let's say, because we're not going to count the bird on 4s, 3s. Like, who cares? Reasonably accurate on some mix of 3s, 3s round 1 and 3s, 2s round 2. It's fine. It's not good, but it's not bad. I think Praetors actually do hit harder than this in general, because they're 6 damage a model for 3 models, so it's about, you know, 20 max, because you get the leader in there. So they're worse at fighting than Praetors, and Praetors aren't particularly good at fighting. So that's not saying much. Windrider, I think, is the reason you would pick Neve. You don't bring her because you have this overstated bodyguard. You don't pick her for the free free, you know, in air quotes, wizard. You bring this whole thing because of Windrider, because it gives you access to strike and fade. In a Stormcast army, that's not something we normally have access to. Like, we don't have any Sylvaneth units that can do this natively. So this option to, like, charge in, kill something, and then jump to the other side of the board. That's a really cool trick. The big problem, though, is that you have to roll a 2+ in order to do this. And I can't tell you the number of times I need to roll a 2+ and I just don't. Like, let's say I'm on mystical terrain and I need to translocate in order to get a battle tactic. Well, guess what? That's the turn I'm going to fail translocation every time. Like, there's no help in it. I just don't roll 2+. So I really hate this. If she didn't have this 2+ mechanic and this whole tactic was completely reliable, I would really, really like it a lot more. But the fact that it has this built-in failure chance really kills this for me. The shooting damage is, it's not great. You know, Neve does 3 damage and the bodyguard does 6 damage. That's not great. The ranges are pretty small. If Shaqan is in range to shoot with her 18-inch range, that means something's going to charge Neve the turn after she teleports back to them. So you want to keep that bodyguard unit pretty far away from the fight. You want them on the edges of the board, scoring battle tactics and giving you different vectors of attack for Neve. And if you're doing that, you're probably not going to be in range to shoot heroes or anything, really. So there's going to be a lot of times where that shooting damage is just 0. And the Nebulous Sea Fog spell from Lorai, it's a strong effect, but it's so limited, even just within this warband. The fact that you have to stay near each other in order to benefit from it, that's just really bad. I feel like this is supposed to be the pros section. I've just listed, I've just talked myself out of each one of these.
No, I mean, it's the pros are good. This is a unique war scroll. It does something nothing else in the Stormcast book or like any other like regiment or renown. Like as far as regiment or renowns go, this is probably one of the best ones, I would say, because none of the other regiment or renowns are particularly good in terms of like their what buffs they give or whatever.
Yeah, well, let's discuss that because we didn't cover that on the war scrolls because we're kind of just looking at this from a Stormcast perspective. Right? There mm-hmm. is a regimen of renown. Do you want to break down how those work for people who aren't familiar?
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, regimen of renown, think of regimen of renown as an allied battalion that pertains to their grand allegiance. So since, you know, this is a Stormcast warband, it is an order regimen of renown that any order army can ally in. It means that they get access to another battalion that they can, basically access towards their ally limit, and it's another unified battalion that gets stapled on to whatever the rest of their army composition is. And as long as they are in a regiment of renown, they get a special rule associated with that regiment, with that battalion. And all for this battalion, for the Black Talons, that rule is that they get the Hammers of Sigmar 6-up ward on all these units, all these models.
And they get that ward all the time, not just when they're standing
all the time, not near objectives. Yeah. Yep. So it's in a sense, it's better. So in terms of that, this feels like a proper regiment. It's like, it's got a small footprint. You can slot it in. Neve herself has got a small footprint. You know, they're sort of just acting independently. There's not a lot of models and a lot of painting involved. But now then we get to the con section, and the cons are her points. And in my opinion, that's the only con. That's it. The other ones, in my opinion, are secondary. So do you want to go through those?
Yeah, the damage is a real big sticker because Stormcast are one of the higher damage armies. So we have lots of things to compare her to. Celestent Prime is in this price point, right? I think he's 330, 320 these days. You could always just have a unit of Dracolines for 240 points, and they're going to do a lot more with a very similar threat range, and not have this weird 2+ gimmick attached to them. The damage output from this unit is just not good enough for Stormcast armies. And the fact that you have to dedicate a command point to run Neve every turn to make this happen, you have to pass that 2+ check. You have to clear screens for her because she's not durable. Just the way you apply the damage is not worth it. And then the actual reward for applying that damage is also not worth it for the point cost. Like, you could have 2 Stormdrakes for the same cost, and 2 Stormdrakes, I think, would do a lot more for your army. And I think they're overcosted right now, too. So, yeah. She's also Hammers of Sigmar, and she's unique, so nobody can take any enhancements. Lorai can't learn any spells at all. There's no spell that you can teach her because she can't take universal ones, and she can't take the lore spells either. So all she's casting is Mystic Shield, and maybe if you brought an endless spell, she can do that. Hammers of Sigmar doesn't seem like a big deal, but it means you can't get Astral Templars, which means you will probably just get stomped to death at some point, right? Like, she's only 6 wounds. If you take a couple hits to unleash hell, stomp, any kind of D3 mortal wound from charge effects, she's really weak to all of these things. And there's a lot of those in the game right now. There's chain lightnings, there's random prayers going off that just do D3 mortal wounds. There's a lot of these splash D3 mortal wound effects, and Neve and all of her crew are really weak to this. Lorai is a 1-spell wizard with +0 to cast, and that's like the worst thing to be in this game. You need a really, really good ability on your war scroll to make up for that, and she doesn't have it. The current gold standard for that, I'd say, is the Knight Incantor, who has a once per game guaranteed unbind for 120 points. That's the standard you need to be at in order to be a playable plus zero cast wizard these days.
Honestly, it'd be a lot better if she just made her warband not visible to enemy units.
Without a spell,
like,
even,
if it was
yeah.
that, I could see it. Yeah, because then, you know, it's like you can't target them for prayers and, like, magical abilities and stuff like that. But just making you hit on shooting, it's like, it's not going to matter 90% of cases because they can't shoot you anyway if you're your bodyguard because of lookouts, sir.
Yeah, they're just
unless they're within 12 inches.
They're just going to kill you with spells and non-shooting based ranged abilities. So
yeah,
they'll
just kill your bodyguard first and then kill you, you know, or something. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. Her spell is, yeah, I don't think it's very situated. Like, it's very situationally good. So
there's a lot of matchups where it does literally nothing. Like, some armies in this game don't shoot. If this also worked on melee attacks, I'd be a lot more interested. But it's only shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bodyguards have to take the wounds. That's a big downside because there's only three bodyguards. So as soon as you lose one of those models to any random D3 mortal wound thing or an arcane bolt or something, now you've lost lookout, sir. Because odds are you're keeping this unit together. You're not keeping, you're trying to protect the heroes with this unit. You're not keeping another unit near them. They're kind of supposed to work as an independent thing. If you're just keeping this with the core of your army, you should probably just use a different unit, right? This is supposed to be an independent actor working somewhere else on the battlefield, trying to be as efficient as possible and controlling a flank. But as soon as you lose one model, the lookout sir is gone. And that's a big deal these days. Then Neve just gets shot and dies. She dies to very light damage with only six wounds.
The other thing is the bodyguard isn't that good is because it says it has to protect a Black Talon's hero, not Neve herself. Lorai is a Black Talon's hero. So if you keep Lorai near the bodyguard, they can just target Lorai.
Yeah, and she's quite fragile with a 4-up save. She does have a 5-up ward, but if you're using the ward, you can't use the bodyguard. So, like, because you have to use the bodyguard, that means she doesn't get her ward if she's near them.
Mm-hmm.
So they just pour damage into her, kill the whole bodyguard, and then, the whole thing just dies. The damage of the bodyguards is not good, right? It's a mixed profile. Like, we've seen some Stormcast warbands for Underworlds and things like that that try this mixed damage profile. It never works because the shooting's never good enough, the melee's never good enough, and the speed isn't there to make both of them work. I think the only time something like this works is when you have a mobile gun melee platform like Tempestors or Alopexes. It can work. It doesn't work when the unit is slow and very limited in threat range.
Yep.
And my biggest gripe is that Windrider can fail. You know, I just absolutely hate that that limitation exists. I hate rolling ones on crucial abilities. If this, like, you're spending 340 points on this tactic, and the tactic just one in six times is not going to work. And because Neve is so fragile, she's just going to die.
That is the true part. Like, yeah, I don't mind the 2-up as much, but it means that your 340-point unit is going to be rendered useless if you fail that 2-up once.
Right. There's also a limitation that she can't teleport to a Black Talons unit that's within 3 inches of an enemy. So if your bodyguard is engaged, Neve can't teleport out. And
that means more reason for you to split Lorai and the bodyguard apart, which means Lorai can't cover them with her spell.
Yeah.
Ugh, just bad vibes. Bad vibes.
In a Stormcast army, I think this unit is not good enough. Way overpriced. I think
this would have to be 230 in a Stormcast army to see play. 240 or 230.
Somewhere in that, like, 250-ish range. Less than 250, honestly. It can't be any more. And at that point, you're trading off a unit of, like, long strikes or questers or fulminators or something in exchange for a utility damage wizard combo, right? And that would be an acceptable trade for Stormcast armies. 340 is just no way. But let's talk about other armies here, because, like you said, this is a regiment of renown. Any order army can take these, and I could see some armies taking these, right? Armies that don't have good damage that's comparable to what Stormcast can do. Armies like Lumineth, for example, struggle to find really high damage units. So something like Neve coming in here with her 21 damage against heroes, that's not terrible. The fact that it has to be in a regiment of renown kind of sucks. That means you can't put her in, like, a Wizard Finders, which is unfortunate, because they have to be in the regiment of renown battalion, of course. But I could see maybe Seraphon Starborn using it, because they don't have, like, super high accurate combat damage, right? Like, they've got Aggrodon Chargers. Sorry, they've got Raptodon Chargers, but they're just unreliable and fragile. So maybe Neve might slot in there, you know, finishing off things after you wipe out screens with a bunch of spells. Possible there. Are there any other armies you might consider using this regimen in?
I was thinking, okay, so when I think of what this is Warband is giving me, it's giving me 14-inch reach plus 2d6. It's giving me a chance to hit something and then teleport back, so keep doing sort of like keep doing this yo-yo thing. I'm like, what armies would I value this with? I could see Idnath running this. Idnath doesn't have like a lot of like, because she hits pretty hard, especially if you're fighting a hero. So it's like Idnath doesn't have a lot of hitting power where they also don't just melt in the Counter-Strike, and nothing will ever get to Counter-Strike Neve as long as you keep charging her and hitting something.
Idaneth is an
And
interesting one because the way their Forgotten Nightmares thing works, they have to target the nearest enemy unit, and that includes
yeah,
allied
so you could
units.
pop, yep, that you could pop Lorei's thing, so they have to shoot her, and they can only shoot her on sixes, and she can keep doing this yo-yo thing until Idnath is ready for high tide, you know? So she's giving Idnath a strike and fade until they're ready to hit high tide. So I like her there.
I could see that in a reverse tide list where you're not getting the
Yeah.
benefit of the ritual on turn one. And you just rely on this to make you survive instead against shooting.
Yeah. Yep. I could see that. I could also see this in a, weirdly enough, a Fire Slayer's list. Fire Slayer lists, like, especially because, you know, I don't personally think, given the shooting meta that we have, Magma Draughts are a really good choice. But if you bring a foot list and you bring her, this gives you like that kind of reach that you can't really afford to do with a run and charge Hardguard Berserkers, because you will always outrun your support. So this thing lets you like yo-yo against them while you wait for them to crash into your Hardguard wall.
And it gives you a wizard, which is really important for battle tactics right now.
Yep, it gives you a wizard. Yeah, so without having to like explicitly ally in a Night Encanter, although I think a Night Encanter might be better for that.
Probably,
But
yeah.
yeah, but honestly, like I like her in Fire Slayers. I like her in IDK. I don't think it fits anywhere else. Sylvaneth is way too elite to afford this. Seraphon, maybe I could see maybe a Seraphon list trying this out. Daughters of Cain, I don't think so. They just need too much of their own stuff to ever bring this in. What else? Caradhran, no way. No. They do their own thing. Lumineth, okay. Lumineth, maybe. If you're a Lumineth list that kind of likes to stay back and wait for the enemy to come to you while you shoot them or something, I could see them sending Neve out so they can keep returning to our lines. So, you know, not the worst idea there. But again, like, the main problem is her cost. Like, in Stormcast, she's not worth more than 250. In other armies, even then, I would say this warband is not worth more than, like, 300 or 280.
270, maybe.
Yeah. Like, 340 is way too much. If you look at this as an Underworlds warband, most Underworld warbands that we have are between 200 and 300. This being 340 is insanely overcosted. I don't think I would play this at 340.
I think their
And I
cost
tried it. Like,
is.
I actually like substituted the models and tried this. It's like 340 is just so much when you consider that it revolves around Neve, Black Talon, a 6-wound hero with no wards. Well, I guess a 6-up ward, but like how significant is that really?
It's basically a 7-wound hero.
Yeah. So it's like if this was a 5-up ward, like I would be like, okay, now we're talking.
Should be better.
I guess if you're not playing Stormcast, I have seen talks about using this warband in like other armies that are a little bit slower, like Fire Slayers, where it could kind of probably be pretty good because Eric, the rest of the army just moves so slow, but she's such a missile, so you could probably see some synergy that way. But for Stormcast itself, like I think she has like just a keyword problem. Like the whole war scroll just seems like a keyword problem. Like, why can't I use that spell on any Stormcast unit? You know? Like, it feels like it's so restrictive to just them that we have so much more faster and as hard hitting things that it's really just hard to justify her. In the Stormcast army at least. It's easier to justify her in other order armor.
Well, let me ask you this, David. What point cost would you pay for this War Scroll in a Stormcast army?
I think it would have to be, it definitely have to be sub 300. I'm not sure where I want to put that number at yet. It'd have to at least start at sub 300, because you look at somebody like Storm Coven, who's I still feel is a little overcosted at 275, but I would still stick a Storm Coven over this because I feel it has, I mean, that unit still has more utility than this unit. So I think it has to be Like, I think honestly, you could put this unit at like maybe 250 to 280 range, and now we're talking
exactly
about like, hey, you
know,
because
we
like
said
now
that,
you can. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we said it has to be 250 at least, 250 or below.
Yeah. Less
because
probably.
Because you have to argue. You have to argue with: is this better than another hammer that we have? Is it better than long strides? Is it better than fulminators? Is it better than tempesters? Like, you have to make all those arguments before you take this unit. And for me, at least, I feel like I really, literally rather just have, if it's at 340 points, for 70 more points, why don't I just take four tempesters? Like that's just how like our army works, and I don't think they understand that yet. Is this, you can't just look at the war scroll itself. You have to understand that it competes with everything else in the book as well.
Yeah, I don't think this was written to be in a Stormcast army.
No, it doesn't feel like that.
I think it was written to be a tie into the show, to have a cool band of heroes. And what does each of these heroes do? Oh, okay, well, yeah, each of them does feel like slightly better than regular Stormcast. Like, they feel cool and unique. But in terms of it fitting into match play, it's the point cost is just really far off what it needs to be.
Yeah. I will say, maybe, I hope this is like a lean into what we might see. Like, I hope we get those three Wound Redeemers. I hope this shows that maybe they make our heroes, our foot heroes especially, like a little more punchy. Like the Castellan, the Celestids, like all these like little supposedly like very fighty foot heroes.
Yeah, I could see them like, yeah, if she's seven attacks on two damage, other heroes going to like four attacks or five attacks on negative two on two damage. That would be nice.
Yeah. I don't need a Celestin swinging like a Scarbrand, but like I feel like it should probably hit harder than the little wimpy heroes that have been released in the other books that hit harder than our heroes.
I really, really like the three wound Stormcast. I really hope 4th edition we get 3 wounds baseline, because 40 mil bases with 2 wounds feel wrong. Just aesthetically, there's something wrong about a big line of ogre-sized models being only 10 wounds. I think the way they came to this point cost is something like they added up all the stats in a single line in a spreadsheet. Like, they added the bodyguard wounds to Lorai's wounds to Neve's wounds. They're like, oh, this is X wounds and this is X total damage. And then they spit out a number because that's a good starting point for balance, right? Like, you know, that way you don't get stuff that's massively undercosted. But the fact that those stats are split across 3 different units that, you know, you're really only using one of them with Neve, like the bodyguard is not a significant source of damage or anything. And the wizard stats basically don't matter. She's just there to cast Mystic Shield or the anti-shooting spell. So the point cost just seems very wrong. Even if you think something like Neve is 140 points, Lorai's 100 points, and the bodyguard are 100 points, something like that. Like, yeah, those are fair costs for these units, given comparisons to other units. But the fact that you have to take all three of these together, that's what kills it, right? It has to be a situation where you get a discount for taking the bundle, because the bundle doesn't necessarily, it's not greater than the sum of its parts. It's worse. It's worse than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I just think they're overcosted, which is a shame because the models are insanely good looking.
Yeah, they're fantastic models. I'm thinking about picking one up just to have like a Thunderstrike Castigator or Adjudicator Prime or something. A fancy, you know, they've shown off Thunderstrike Liberators. Maybe this guy could be a Liberator Prime. You've got a Vanguard Hunter Prime and then Knight Zephyros there. And a Battle Mage. There's a sweet looking Battle Mage right in the middle there.
So yeah, D tier. If they reduce the points for the regiment for 300 or 290, and then Stormcast could get this for 250, we would upgrade this to like possibly B.
Maybe. I would probably say C, like pretty niche, but still maybe playable. It's hard to imagine, though.
Yep.
So D tier for us means it's not like an irredeemably bad unit. Like that would be like an F tier unit, something that no matter, like you would have to drop their points so much that it just becomes a spammable unit. That's an F tier unit for us. We don't think she's that bad. We think the War Scroll has potential. It's just the cost is way, way, way off. And D tier for us means not viable in competitive play. I will be very shocked if this sees play in Stormcast. In other armies, maybe. You know, honestly, it might make the cut in some kind of list, but Probably not.
Nope.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching, especially our Patreon and YouTube supporters. You guys help, well, not keep the lights on, but you help justify all the time we waste on this on these videos. if you think we missed anything about Neve and the Black Talons, then please leave a comment down below or come into our Discord server and yell at us in person. We talk about AOS all day, every day. We've got a sweet battle report forum where people post very detailed insights into their games, competitive matches, casual matches, everything in between. We have some really sick painters in our community, and we love to celebrate them by having community contests. Like right now, if you're watching this video on release, we have a painting in Drasta competition happening. We're really looking forward to seeing what people can do with that beautiful centerpiece model. We do list building for all armies, not just Stormcast. Although we are the Stormkeep, we do focus on Stormcast. People play other armies, and we have really passionate players for all sorts of other armies. Consider supporting the gang by becoming a member on YouTube or joining us at patreon.com/thestormkeep. For $5 a month, you can get early access to all our videos, as well as access to the slides that we use in all our videos. Coming up next on the podcast, we are working on a Battle Tome review style video for the Army of Renown for Stormcast, the Draconith Skywing. If you've seen our other Battle Tome reviews, you know they are chunky. We like to go really far in depth. We like to really sink our teeth into it. We don't think it's a review unless we've explored it as much as possible past a first impression. After that, we are continuing to work on our Stormcast Allies video. Some recent Cities of Sigmar errata came out that shifted things yet again for our ally choices. So we are working at that. We're also working on updating our faction identities video. And finally, David and I are working on our How to Play Karazai video. David recently went 4-0 with Karazai at a GT before very narrowly losing his last game. And I think we have enough data and screenshots and everything ready so that we can put that video out to you guys. This will be very similar to the How to Play Annihilators video that Mergonk and I did a few weeks back, and we hope you guys are looking forward to it. Sorry it's been delayed, but a lot of stuff happened with the Stormcast in this newest Dawnbringers book, and we've all been very excited about that. Kind of came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting Stormcast to get anything, so yeah, pretty cool. So, everybody, thank you very much for tuning in, and we will see you in the next one.